Please join me again in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 12, verse 44, where we will finish the information we have about the dedication of the walls just freshly built under Nehemiah's guidance in 444 BC. We know that the walls were finished around the 25th of the sixth month. And so now, just a few days later, on the first day of the seventh month, the people have gathered at Jerusalem for the dedication ceremony. On the first day of the month, which just happened to be a Sabbath day, the Jewish people were divided by Nehemiah into two groups. Each group had musicians and singers, as well as leadership personnel, and then the common people. One group under Ezra's leadership is going to go south along the wall, and the other group under Nehemiah's leadership will go north along the wall. Now, their starting point is the Valley Gate. The Valley Gate is the western end of kind of a dividing line that goes east and west between the ancient city of David that is to the south. This is the oval hill of the ancient city of Salem or Jebus or David's Jerusalem. And then to the north of that dividing line is what we know today as the Temple Mount. But in Nehemiah's day, it was the hill of the Ophel, which rose up toward the worship hill where the temple stood with its plaza. And so they are going to start on the western side of the wall at the Valley Gate, and Ezra's group will go down and around the southern tip of the ancient city of Jerusalem, that is David's city. He's going to go past what we know today as the Pool of Siloam and the Fountain Gate. And then he'll swing north along the eastern wall, which goes up the Kidron Valley. And then eventually he'll reach the Water Gate, which is, I think, directly east of the Valley Gate, and then presumably he and his group will then ascend up past the Horse Gate and then finally arrive at the East Gate, which is immediately in front of the temple, because they're all going to be at the Worship Plaza. Nehemiah's group leaves the Valley Gate on the west side, and goes up through what today is the Jewish Quarter, and up along through the area of the Tower of the Ovens, past the Broad Wall of Hezekiah, and then finally reaches apparently the northwest corner of the city of Jerusalem from his time, which would be at the Ephraim Gate, the Gate of Yoshania, and then along the north wall with the Fish Gate, which is probably due north of the temple building itself, and then eventually coming to the Sheep Gate, which we know that that's just a little bit south of the ruins of the Pool of Bethesda, so we know pretty much the neighborhood that that's in. It's not far from what's referred to as the Lion Gate, I think, in modern-day Israel. And then they wrap around the northeast corner of the walls until they arrive by this worship plaza that is in front of the temple. And so verse number 40, let's actually start there, of chapter 12 says, "So both choirs of those who gave thanks stood in the house of God, I and half of the officials with me." And then, of course, Ezra with the other half. And what did they do? The singers were singing And verse 43, they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. So my guess is that this parade started at dawn and wouldn't have taken more than an hour or so. And then there is this monster worship service that probably culminates with the morning sin sacrifice, the morning incense offering, and the morning prayer time. And people are singing and celebrating, and they're just so happy. The kids are dancing around and playing. And we're talking about could be 100,000 people or more that have participated in this dedication ceremony. And so this can be heard far away from Jerusalem proper. I suspect that it is heard even by the enemies of Israel that have tried to stop this thing from happening, but it happened anyway. Then we have this follow-up information starting in verse 44. On that day, men were appointed over the storerooms. Now, these storerooms are in a wraparound annex around the temple shrine building. It's three stories with lots and lots of storerooms that are supposed to keep all the things needed for worship and those leading in the worship. And so the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes to gather them in the portions required by the law for the priests and for the Levites, according to the fields of the towns, for Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who ministered. Now the tithes are supposed to come in every year at this time. They're supposed to be brought either to the local storehouses in the cities or to be brought to the temple. So in this year, the sixth year of the cycle is just finishing up of the work cycle. They're bringing all those tithes to be stored at Jerusalem. And so these tithes are going to be used to support the priests and the Levites that do the worship here all year round. And so verse 45, we have that described. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did the singers and the gatekeepers. So those would be the support personnel. The singers, the musicians are keeping the ambiance going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The gatekeepers are keeping the security, making sure that only those that are there for worship and appropriately are allowed into the temple complex. And all of this, we are told, is according to the commandment of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there were directors of the singers, and there were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. David was not allowed to build the temple, but he was allowed by the power of the Holy Spirit to design it and to design its services and its administration, all of its logistics, as we say. And so we're talking about hundreds of years ago is now being put back into place according to the standard of David. Verse 47, all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel, so that's about 90-some years earlier than what we're talking about right now, and in the days of Nehemiah, so that's the present time according to what we're studying, gave the daily portions to the singers and the gatekeepers. And they set apart that which was for the Levites, and the Levites set apart that which was for the sons of Aaron. So what's supposed to happen is the tithes of the people are given to the Levites, and then the Levites use that for their own support, and they take one-tenth of it and give it to the priests for their support. So that is all back in place again underneath Nehemiah. Now, I am intrigued that Ezra has been in country for about a dozen years, and he has been the man of God, but apparently could not get the people to fully comply with all of these standards. So Nehemiah comes on the scene, and he seems to be a very personable figure, a very charismatic figure, and the excitement of the walls being finished is just enough to get everyone on board with doing things God's way. Now, Ezra is right in the middle of all this in order to bring them back to the Word of God. So let's go to Nehemiah chapter number 8 and read about the next event that happens on this day of dedication. Chapter number 8 of Nehemiah says, "All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate." Now, I've already told you, in my estimation, the Valley Gate and the Water Gate were across from each other. The Water Gate on the east side and the Valley Gate on the west side. And that the area between them served as a dividing line between the ancient city of David on the south and the city of Solomon, the temple complex, on the north. This area, I believe, is now occupied by a highway, a roadway. The Valley Gate, I think, was probably just a little bit south of the modern Dung Gate at the old city of Jerusalem. That Dung Gate is the entry point to the Western Wall Plaza area today. So it's located a little bit to the southwest of the Temple Mount. So I think that's where the Valley Gate was located. And then there's a road now, a very heavily traveled road, by the way, lots of traffic jams, that goes along the southern perimeter of the archaeological port. Archaeological park that's just south of the Temple Mount. And it eventually takes a turn to the north and then heads around the eastern wall of the Temple Mount. And so I think the Water Gate was probably just south of the southeast corner of the Temple Mount as we know it today, right before you drop off into the Kidron Valley. That's where I think the Valley Gate, Water Gate was located. So just to the west of the Water Gate, there would have been this big plaza, this big open area. And they gather here for a public reading of the Word of God. Now, why here and not up at the worship plaza? My guess is, and that's all it is they want to keep that area clear for all of the worship ceremonies. People are going there to take their sacrifices and work with the priests and the Levites to offer all of these different sacrifices and be part of the worship experience. And there's music going on up there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So this plaza to the south of there, several hundred yards, is going to be a better venue for reading aloud the Word of God without distractions and also without detracting from the worship ceremonies going on in the worship plaza. So that's my guess. So verse 1 of chapter 8 continues. They told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that he who is had commanded Israel. Now we know that Moses wrote 5 scrolls: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy was a summary made by Moses about the Exodus and about the giving of the law and the living of the covenant once they go into the Promised Land. that he gave right before he died. And he told them that he wanted at least this, we know for sure, at least this scroll, the scroll of Deuteronomy, read aloud every 7 years. That is, at the beginning of the sabbatical year. It is possible that his intention was that the entirety of his scrolls, from Genesis through the end of Deuteronomy, were supposed to be read aloud. But regardless of how much additional was read, we know for sure Deuteronomy would have been read. We also know that 444 BC kicks off in the fall, which is where we're at right now historically, the sabbatical year. So it is time for the public reading. Remember that not everybody could pay to have a handwritten copy of the Word of God. And so your best thing was to go to a worship area and either read it for yourself or hear it read aloud. And so every 7 years, there was a guarantee that it is that in its entirety, God's law would be read to you. So that's what Ezra is up to. So verse 2, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. Now he brought his own personal copies with him from Babylon when he came several years ago. So I'm guessing he's reading from that. Both men and women and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. So now we're ready for the reading that happens sometime after the morning worship service, I think. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, meaning they are not little bitty kids. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the purpose. So they knew this was coming up. So they have actually built a raised up wooden platform that he's going to be able to go up on and read from for a long period of time. Beside him stood, and I'm not going to read all their names, but it's all these guys on his right hand and on his left hand. And Ezra, verse 5, opened the book, that is the scroll, in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. So they're showing respect for God's inspired written word that is now unrolled up there above them, in front of them, that's about to be read to them. And Ezra blessed he who is the God, the great God, and all the people said or answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Now, Amen, that's just Hebrew for that's the truth, and I agree with it. And they were lifting up their hands in praise and adoration and supplication. And then they bowed their heads and they worshiped he who is with their faces to the ground. They're all very excited and also humbled by hearing the word of God. For some of them, it's the first time they've ever heard it in its entirety. And so Yeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Yamin and Akib and Shabbathiah and Hodiah and Messiah and Kalita and Azariah and Jozabad and Hanan and Pelaiah and the Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. Now, what's that all about? These people have just come back out of exile in Babylon, Mesopotamia. While they were there, many of them grew up there, born and raised there, a couple of generations worth. They quit speaking pure Hebrew and started speaking Aramaic, the language of Mesopotamia. And so a lot of these guys, they don't understand pure Hebrew, which is related to Aramaic. And so if you know Aramaic, then you'd be able to make out some parts of the reading of the Hebrew scripture, but not all of them. And you would need a little assistance. And so that's what's happening here. These guys that were named are helping the crowd by filling in the knowledge gap between Aramaic and Hebrew. And so verse 8, they read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. So these guys are commenters or commentators. These guys are preachers that are helping the people understand it. And so that's why it's taking longer to read this. And probably we're just talking about the book of Deuteronomy at this stage. And so it takes them from probably, let's call it 9:30 or so, until after 12 o'clock, after noon, before they get through it. Verse number 9. Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to He who is your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Now, if you read through the book of Deuteronomy, you will eventually get to the blessings and the cursings section. And the blessings and cursings section, exactly what it sounds like. These are all the blessings that will happen if you keep the covenant, followed up by these are all the curses that are going to happen if you don't keep the covenant. And so the thing that they're hearing is about all the judgment of God that came upon their nation, including the exile, including the destruction of the temple. All of that came because their ancestors were not keeping the covenant. And so that makes them cry. Some of them are also hearing for the first time that some of the things they've been engaging in are actually sins. And so they are being convicted by the word of God, and they're crying as well. And so Nehemiah and Ezra are feeling like, this is spoiling the celebration of this occasion of the dedication of the walls and the restart in this sabbatical year, the lifestyle of the covenant. So they tell them, verse 10, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink sweet wine, send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So don't get overly saddened by the judgment stuff that you're hearing about. That's going to be dealt with. In some cases, it's already been dealt with. Instead, let the joy of God be what strengthens you on this day. And I think that's good advice in our Bible studies. As we go through the Word of God, very often we will come across a lot of passages dealing with judgment. But we must never allow that to overshadow all the promises, all of the blessing passages, all of the good things that we know God wants for us and has in store for us. So let's always keep a balance between those two sides of the story. Verse number 11. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Don't be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicings because they understood the words that were declared to them. So they did. They went and celebrated the dedication. They went and celebrated the kickoff of the sabbatical year, the Sabbath day, the Feast of Trumpets, the first day of the seventh month. They had a lot of things to be happy about. And so that's how they spent the rest of their day. Verse number 13. On the second day, the heads of fathers' houses and all the people with the priests and the Levites came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. So I think they must come back to Watergate Plaza, and we repeat the process. Verse 14, they found it written in the law that he who is had commanded Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths, that is, temporary shelters, during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem. So this is the Feast of Tabernacles that they're rediscovering. And so here's the quoting. Go out to the hills, bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, other leafy trees to make booths as it is written. So they'd make a little framework, and then they'd put these fresh cut branches over them. And so the people went out and they brought them, and they made booths for themselves, each on his roof, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. That's probably up in the northwest corner of the town. So they've got Feast of Tabernacle booths everywhere throughout Jerusalem. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in booths, for from the day of Yeshua, the son of Nun, to that day, the people of Israel had not done so. Now, that's not saying they'd not celebrate the feast, but not like this. This is a big one. They are so taken up into the excitement of the walls. And there was very great rejoicing. And then day by day, from the first day to the last day, that is, from the 15th day of the month until the 22nd and the 23rd of the month, he read from the book of the law of God. And that's where I suspect he probably read all of the books of Moses from Genesis onward. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day, there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. And so now we are ready to really get started with the refreshing of the Jewish faith and lifestyle in the Jewish homelands. And they are going to take this to heart and do the things they've heard from the Word of God.